listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Boy, get the fuck in here!
Sputters.
Echoes from his midsection rises out, cracking, his clothes crunching air, lacking to match his arms. Before you, a horrible, unexplainable monstrosity, a massive mound of black flesh. You start the car.
39 on a 30.
Fuck.
Bites your left hand cleanly off. Gunshot rings out, the jaws clench. You're gonna take 13 points of damage.
I'm down. I guess nothing happened to you. Fuck. No.
For the listeners at home, we're picking up right after the end of that last episode, so if it feels a little bit raw, that's because it is. We're jumping right into this. No ifs, ands, no buts.
I don't want to.
Give me a recap of that last
episode. I don't fucking want to.
So, in the heart of Minneapolis, in the heart of the machine that you have been fighting so hard against, you find yourselves fighting once more for your lives. Roy, handless, Caleb, in the back, on your back, shotgun in hand, Ray, I hope you got some good pictures, and Jerry. This bite digs into you and you can feel the heat pulsate from your side, right below the ribs, basically right in the chunk of your stomach off to the right side. It bites in, rips and tears. It's not very, very deep into it, and it doesn't pull out a chunk. Now, when this happens, you immediately go unconscious and you hear a voice talk to you softly. I can't cut off my own hand, my son. Anything but that. Roy, you look over to see Jerry face down in the snow, blood gushing out of his side. And you see this blackness seep around his wound, covering it, gently filling in the gaps. But not all the way. Jerry, you would have died. Rules as written, you go to 0 hit points, you die. You feel this warmth as you hear that voice, and you are restored instead to 2 hit points, but you are still unconscious and dying. What did you do? What did you, I missed it. What did you do?
Throw up gang signs.
Shoot up gang signs.
I had chopped Debbie home.
He's just face down in the snow behind his own head.
Shooting gang signs.
Imagine Jerry fucking like goes down. Imagining like in DayZ, like you know in DayZ when you fucking go unconscious, but then like you come right back up and you're just like there, like that's just that just.
You are unconscious to be clear.
Shooting gang signs. All right, fuck. I'm on the flow.
Now.
I'm sorry, I had to.
To read the rules for dying.
I'm listening.
I'm glad you're listening, because I'm looking for him.
Oh, maybe right.
If an agent is reduced to 2 or fewer hit points, he or she falls unconscious. An unconscious agent is helpless and can be killed with a single attack without having to roll. At 3 HP or more, you regain consciousness. Now, what is very important is I need you to now roll a check against your Constitution times 5 score.
17 on a 60.
You're all right. That would have decided a permanent injury, but you passed. If you failed, there's a complicated thing where I have to decide the lowest number on the dice and decide which number of your your stat to permanently reduce based on... I'm not reading that. Fuck that. You don't have a permanent injury, not like our friend over here. You feel this warmth around you. You hear this voice in your head, and you are still unconscious, sleeping ever so gently in the snow. You are not bleeding, though. Roy, you're up.
So he's not in the van.
He's unconscious, face down in the snow.
And the thing is right there.
Right there.
I imagine it's like 2 feet from
me. Less than that. It's probably rubbing up against you.
So I see the uvula.
No. The mouth is closed.
Bro, this is like running back to the ship in Lethal Company with the dogs.
Yeah.
Fuck.
In the fucking van.
What's the thing doing?
Second by second here, it's not just fucking standing there scratching its balls.
Right.
It just got a chunk.
And now it's fucking chilling or something.
Yeah, well, it's just, something. I don't know, doing its thing.
Okay.
You're not standing there watching. Time doesn't pass while you deliberate.
So I can't imagine that if I grabbed him and tried to pull him in
with
the
one
van.
Hand.
That's what I'm saying. So pull him into the van with, yeah, with one hand.
First, you would have to get past this thing.
Okay, I also imagine that there's a shit ton of guns just at fucking arm's length right now, because I'm in the very back of the van.
A single arm's length.
All right, Chuck, you ready? You ready, bro?
Yes, yeah. There is a gun at arm length.
And I imagine that even though I don't have a left hand, if I grabbed, a shotgun... You know, the thing's 2 feet from me. You know what I'm saying? I grab a shotgun and I try to shoot the thing.
Matt, roll firearms. Roll firearm.
Let's fucking go.
How the fuck could I miss this? He's right there. I understand.
I almost did.
Because now you have to try and manipulate a weapon. Firearms is not reflective of, oh, I have the gun up, I'm aiming, let me roll firearms. Firearms is reflective of, holy shit, let me get this gun, let me get my finger on the trigger, let me get the stock in my shoulder, let me get the my hand on the...
I imagine, like, my stump is, like, holding the barrel.
Yeah. I'm gonna describe it if you successfully do it.
Right. Yes!
Rocks!
28 on a
45.
28
on a
45. Oh!
You grab your hand in, and you probably don't even look as your hand goes around a pistol grip on a shotgun. You pull it out, sling it up against your shoulder, and kind of bump your shoulder to catch it on your stump. Aim ever so gently, pull the trigger, and it rockets back, because I imagine you're not able to get the stock in your shoulder.
Yeah.
Doesn't exit your hands or anything like that, but you can feel the recoil go over your shoulder. Bullets fly out, this peppering of buckshot as it kind of embeds itself all in the side of this thing, and it does react pretty heavily to that as it stumbles off to the side and sits on its hind quarters, and just kind of the mouth kind of turns to you now, direction and attention off of Jerry. Do you say anything? You also notice Jerry go down.
I do this.
You wave with your stump.
Yeah.
Stump.
And so Jerry is unconscious.
Yes.
I fucking turn and I'm like,
we gotta fucking grab Jerry right now.
You mean it?
Yeah.
Caleb.
You said that on my free action I could hand a shotgun to Ray or any gun in the back. That still applies over a session, right?
Yeah, but that was, I mean, Ray didn't want that at that time. He chose to shoot his gun. Why are you asking this question?
Because on my next turn, I can't use a free action to give him one now, so he can have a shotgun for his next turn.
If he wants one, yeah.
I don't give a shit if he wants one.
Well, he didn't ask for one, and we're not going to say that you're going to stand there with a shotgun in your hand waiting for him to take it if he wants. No, no, no. That was just because he requested it, and I was feeling nice.
But I know he's the rifleman. I know that's his weapon of choice.
Do you want to use your action to give it to him so he can shoot on his turn?
No. How far distance is this thing from the back of the van?
Based off of its reaction to getting peppered with buckshot, now it has stepped maybe 10 or so feet away from the back of the van. Jerry off to the back left side of the van. You might even be able to see like the top of his foot.
With how I've seen this thing moving, would Caleb think that he has enough time to grab Jerry, bring him back into the van, and get into a position before this thing can attack again?
You probably only have time to get out of the van. So you're saying in the amount of turns that it would take you to do that, would it be able to make an attack?
Yes, with how I've seen this thing moving. Off of three movements now?
You think it would be close?
Okay.
You think it would be really, really close? You think it might be able to?
Okay, and I mean, I think the thought is here that this is the safest place because people are just getting bit outside of the fucking van. Trust in that my other boys are going to shoot. Yeah, I'm going to get Jerry.
What do you do?
Okay, so I would have to fully step out of the van to grab Jerry.
Yeah. Would you like to exit the van? Here, the courses of action. Exiting the van. Grabbing Jerry to put him in the van. And then the third one would be closing the door, I imagine.
Or at least just getting him in a position where, like,
you can get him,
fat mouth thing isn't going to...
You can get him into the van in two actions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want this being the first half of it, getting him in.
But you yourself getting in the van would be the third.
And what would I think on this thing's movement?
You know what? What do you want to do?
I want to get Jerry.
Okay. Based off of its movement, it's quick.
Okay.
You get out of the van, step up to Jerry. You can see him laying face down. Decent amount of blood, and you can see this kind of pulsating black substance on his side. Grab your arms around him and start to pick him up.
Yep.
Ray.
Okay, so he went from, I'm on the passenger side, he was on the right side, and then he kind of walks around back, so I'm assuming I'm kind of like turned like this in the chair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as he comes around, you know, like, goes out of my view from the window.
Right.
And the back is open.
Yes.
So I kind of just want to, like, you know...
Lean over the headrest. Yeah.
So I want to just verify I can do this. If I, in two turns total, like, or to take two turns total, I want to get into the driver's seat, but in the first turn, I want to get halfway there, like so.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm supposed to be describing things, but, you know.
Sure.
I get up, and then... turned around.
Explore the room.
Like this, right? And then I have a way to shoot.
Okay.
Halfway over, and then once I shoot, I hop into the sheet.
So you would like to straddle the center console to get halfway there, take a shot, and then on your second turn, get into the driver's seat.
Yes.
I will allow you to do that in one turn, but you will add 40 to your firearms roll. Or you can do it in two.
No, I'd rather do it in two.
Okay.
Because then I would have, like, one clean shot.
Yes.
And then I could take the next turn to get in the driver's seat. The ignition is on.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then if that's only half of the turn getting the driver's seat, could I also presumably hit the gas or brake or make an action to drive if the ignition is already on?
You're parked in a spot. In front of you is the park.
Mm-hmm.
Not many ways, places to go. I'll let you either hit the gas or put it in reverse.
Okay.
First, straddling the center console,
yes.
Roll firearms.
.55 on a .50.
Damn.
Fuck. Roy, roll dodge.
Here we go, dude. Here we fucking go.
Would have been better if I did the
19 on a
let's go. Oh,
holy shit. It's not going to take up your next turn, but you can see Ray is trying to steady himself, and you can see he's not aiming correctly. His elbows kind of dropped a little low, and you can kind of this split second twitch where a gunshot rings out from Ray, embeds itself in the back of the truck, and as your reaction to that is kind of like moving slightly to the side, I have the feeling that he might have shot you. But okay. You're able to pass by that, and you're okay.
Okay.
Fuck, my bad. Oh, shit, shit.
We're all shaking.
I'm getting in the driver's seat. Come on.
Jerry, you are unconscious. It is the creature's turn. Oh, I apologize. You were taking inventory of it.
Oh, yeah.
To see what its health status was. It looks woozy.
Okay.
It looks like it's stumbling a little bit. It is reacting quite a bit to these gunshots. It steadies itself. Stands back up. Who is looking at it right now? Because I imagine, Caleb, you're not.
No.
Jerry, no. You're not.
Come on,
Ray,
dog.
You probably are.
I'm like catching the tail end of this.
Right.
Whatever you're about to say.
Shit. Before it takes a bite of me, I fucking come out.
Roy?
Roy's looking right at it.
The mouth opens, and the uvula, this statue figure, is now replaced with the face of Mike McAllister, who looks at you. What's going on?
Oh, shit.
It is steadied. Its mouth is open. Roy, what do you do?
Caleb's out of the van?
Yeah, you see him helping Jerry up.
If I assist, would that... I would like to help. But I'd rather shoot Mike McAllister in the mouth. I want to shoot him with the shotgun.
What are you doing? I know what you want to do. What are you doing?
I am fucking... Because I know it kind of just pushed me back. I'm aiming the barrel at the mouth. Is it still? Oh, yeah. I'm aiming the barrel at the mouth.
Nub.
Is it still very close to me?
No, it's quite a bit further.
Okay. While I'm aiming, do I see Caleb in my line of sight?
Not in your line of sight, but you see him out of your peripheral.
Peripheral? All right, I pull the trigger.
Roll firearms.
Oh, this is so huge.
96 on a 45.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Could have been a crit.
You
could
can't
have been a crit. You're going through these motions and you're doing these things and you're ignoring the pain, and the pain is there and it hurts and it hurts and you cannot focus. Now you're noticing that you're losing a decent amount of blood. You're also going to lose 1 point of health right now. A gunshot rings out, but you're not able to keep the gun held up long enough because it's pressed up on your wrist. Exposed flesh and pain. Gunshot fires into the snow. Caleb.
As much as I can do to get Jerry secure in this van and try to get myself secure.
Okay.
And I guess if I see that I do need the help, I'm going to call out for a hand.
Only one, though.
Roll athletics for me.
Fuck, man.
78 on a 30.
Okay. So this was to decide whether or not you could get in on the same turn. You're able to lift Jerry up, hold him. Roll first aid.
Ooh, 11 on a 30.
Nice.
Crit.
He's breathing. He's stable. And he's not losing enough blood for it to matter.
Do I notice Roy's blood?
That's a different roll.
Okay.
You bring him inside the van, and now you're basically directly next to Roy. Both of you can get in the van if you choose on your turn. The door is open. The creature's starting to get closer.
Got it.
Ray, you are saddle side on the center console now, beginning to make your way into the driver's seat. You get into the driver's seat. What do you do?
Can I prepare actions in this? Can I do that?
No, because I don't want you to have to prepare. I mean, you can
like a ready.
You can delay.
Yeah. I want to basically say, well,
you want to act on what trigger?
Well, I want to. Everyone's in the like around the vicinity of the back right now, right?
Correct.
I want to turn my head around, you know, from the driver's seat and say, "Get your shotguns ready. I'm crashing into this thing."
Okay. You put it in reverse.
I wait until their shotguns are ready.
Okay.
Like I'm waiting until they're ready with their shots. Like that's I'm like looking back. I got my hand like or is it here on the wheel?
They're not on in the van yet. Just to make that clear, they're right on the edge of the van, about to get in.
That's what I'm. That's why I'm not. That's, I want to hold what I want to do. I want to just say like.
Tell me the
ready.
Tell me the trigger for your action, just so I know.
Well, I'm looking back, so I am, you know, looking, getting the visual cue and auditory. I want to see them get in the back of the van.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, well, I want to see that they have weapons ready. And I'm kind of, if it's shotguns, I'm hearing, I'm ready, I'm, I want to hear that.
And you will then do what?
Put it in reverse. And then when I'm, like, as soon as it starts moving, I'm basically going to yell, shoot!
Okay. Jerry, you're unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
It is the creature's turn. You see it. Eye you guys up. Take two or three steps back. Lower its head, or the front half of itself, and begin to gallop full speed towards you. Roy, what are you doing?
I just get ready and I wait for these guys to get in. I want to delay my action too. I'm going to fire once these guys get in and are ready to fire.
Jerry is in.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb is almost in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the van?
Yeah.
You are?
I'm sitting in the van, yeah.
Okay, you got in the van.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb.
This is my action?
Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry, I wasn't sure. Ability to get in the van, turn. I'm assuming I kind of left the shotgun just like if there's like a wheel well.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like left it up on there so I can grab it kind of easy when I get back. Because I probably didn't have it in my hand when I went to go get Jerry.
Sure.
Get in, turn. And I heard what Ray said. Ready myself for an impact, possibly, but also ready to get my shotgun up and ready.
Roy, is your shotgun up and ready?
Yeah.
Ray, describe to me what happens.
Well, I see everyone's up.
Both the back doors are open.
Everyone hears, you know, like a nice shift noise. And then you kind of get launched towards the front.
Yeah.
Because we're going hard in reverse. And I want to like, I want to be looking backwards too. Because mm-hmm. I'm just going straight in reverse, right? And I wait till I see it coming, and it's like, it's approaching us fast, and then we're moving, and it's approaching us really fast. As soon as it's right there, now!
Both of you guys roll firearms.
Oh, come on.
Are you fucking me? Are you
the shotguns at 45? No way. You guys shot each other?
What I will say. You said 65.
Yeah.
55.
55!
You guys.
Bro, you're dead.
You guys are the closest you can be. I will describe exactly what happens. Ray hits it in reverse, guns it. It's already coming at you full speed, and there's this second where impact hits. The front of it and the back of the van collide, and it enters the van maybe 6 or 7 feet. Your firearms are directly in front of it. Nothing can be pointer blank than pointer blank. Roy, your gunshot goes off and hits. Caleb, your gun jams. A gunshot does not go off, does not ring. From this impact, you guys in reverse get burst forward off of the force that it is generating. It bounces backwards, shot inside of it. I have to make a couple of rolls, so bear with me, please.
The impact of this kills me, dude. Like,
it might actually.
Like, I break my neck in the back.
Yeah, there's just one Jerry sliding around.
The van collides with the creature, and the rear end of the van is raised off of the ground fairly high. The creature gets propelled backwards, and the van bounces off the ground. Thung, 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 bounces 2 or 3 times. This creature gets propelled backwards pretty far. You're able to generate enough speed for this to really fucking hit it. It makes this horrible hissing noise and seemingly panicked cannot get itself back up off the ground. It attempts to make a retreat and it can't, collapsing. As its legs twitch, it stops moving for a moment and begins to slop off chunks of it as if melting. Bits of black flesh hit the ground and sizzle, disappearing to nothing. Now each of you experience the same thing. Darkness. As if someone turned the lights out. Silence. The sound of your own breathing. From this darkness, a statue. A woman, beautiful and slender, wearing a flowing dress. Eyes covered with a cloth. Neutral expression. The statue is deteriorating. Bits and pieces chipped from it. No, that isn't quite right. It's not deteriorating, it's being carved. It isn't finished yet. The statue smiles, and with a deep pulsing sound that rocks your very soul, her teeth shatter and scatter. And as quick as this vision came on, it subsides. The corpse, now 15 or 20 feet away from the back of the van, rather quickly, larger and larger portions of it are melting off and evaporate, slowly hitting the snow and sizzling to nothing. What do you guys do?
I understand that Jerry's stable.
Somehow, yeah.
All right, try to help Roy as much as I can stop this bleeding.
How do we do that?
We would have brought med kits with us.
We are going to stay in combat. You did bring med kits.
Is the corpse still sizzling, or is it gone?
No, it's slowly, like, chunks of it slopping off, like pieces of fat off of a chicken thigh on a grill.
If we're still...
You cannot focus on anything but the pain at this moment.
Okay.
Well, what's the state of the car right now? The van?
You're not driving this thing.
Okay.
We're going to go turn by turn here. Caleb.
Trying to help him get everything
right.
Out. Bandage,
okay.
Stop the bleeding.
Right. So you're able to find a med kit. You're going to roll first aid for me, and you're going to take away 20 from whatever you roll.
Ooh, 35 on a 30.
35 on a 30. You're able to find him a tourniquet. At the very least, that is one of the items that is given to you. Able to tie off his arm. I'm assuming that you're accepting this care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So he ties off your upper wrist with a tourniquet. The bleeding is slowed. It is not stopped. You're going to take another point of damage. What's your health at?
5.
Okay. Remember what I said. If you get to...
2.
I believe so. I think it's 2. Now, the blood is still coming out. You're going to have to maybe take some more steps in order to stop this completely. Ray, what are you doing? Taking inventory of the car, you look back. The back end is busted up, and you have a feeling that, shit, man, that must have snapped the axle. Yep. Especially with your background.
Well, knowing that we're fucked. So I see that Caleb is pretty much has stabilized Jerry, you know, and he's taking care of Roy. I want to. I kind of chuckle myself because I'm thinking, holy shit, here I go again. I'm going to take out my fucking camera and take pictures of this thing evaporating for one last time.
Okay. And just to say, what a fucking picture this is. Because you're taking it from the driver's side through the back, out the back doors, and you just see Caleb tending to Roy's stump, Jerry face down against this cold metal back, and this creature off in the distance. It looks like an upside down spider when they die and their legs kind of curl up, but it's just these pieces just flopping off of it.
Yeah. And I kind of, I mean, I'll take the picture from inside the car just for that sick shot, but I kind of want to get out.
Step out?
Yeah.
Okay. So you step out and you begin making your way there.
And I want to grab, well, if I, yeah, I begin, I want to grab a rifle too. I want to just have my,
rifle at your side?
Yeah. I don't want to just have like a pistol.
Okay.
My service weapon.
Give me 1 second to look up this rule. Never had someone almost die and not die. Everyone who's almost died has died. Jerry, to be clear, you saw that vision in your unconscious state as well.
Oh.
I do want to say that. So,
I lived.
Here's how the rules are going to work. Caleb, you would understand this. He's stable, but he could still use some medical attention. If you properly treat him, he will regain 1d4 points of health with your first successful first aid attempt. If it is unsuccessful, you have the feeling that he will regain consciousness in about an hour. To heal up, you can either receive medical care, or every day, if you are in a safe place and have access to food and water, you should, and we should have done this with Ray, but we didn't. It doesn't really matter because I don't like the rule anyway. You have to succeed in a constitution check in order to regain 1 point a day. Fuck that. If you are getting ample rest and you are safe and you have food and water, you're regaining 1 point a day. Fuck that. Now, what was the last thing that happened? Ray got out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry's unconscious. Roy, what are you doing?
I thought I can't really respond right now, right? I'm kind of sitting while he's, like, carrying...
Yeah, is there anything you want to say? Anything you want to do?
Well, Roy wants to get up and walk over to this thing as it's decaying. I don't know if Roy can do that, though. I'll try.
Roy can do whatever he wants to do.
Okay, yeah, Roy wants to walk over to that thing while it's decaying.
You're still trying to stop the bleeding completely. Do you stop him? Do you say anything?
No. No, I don't stop him.
Okay. You pass over him, and you're still bleeding a decent amount. Make your way out, and you can...
And as I'm walking, I want to slowly walk and, like, close my eyes and, like, whisper, like, "Are you there? Are you there?"
I don't know exactly what happened, Roy. I was someplace else, but now I'm back here. It won't happen again.
Did you see that thing? I don't care about the mouth. Did you see it? And I'm saying these things. I'm whispering these things out loud. Did you see the statue?
No.
We'll talk later.
Caleb.
He's out of the van. I help Jerry.
Okay. What do you try to do to help him?
Turn him on his side, maybe check his airways, make sure his airways are open, mm-hmm. and has the ability to fully breathe.
Now, to those who did notice it, I mentioned this black mass that kind of put itself on the side of Jerry. At this point, it is not there. It is gone. You try to set up his airways correctly, and there is still a little bit of bleeding. You notice a scar on his side where this bite was. But it still looks fresh.
Looks normal. Like a normal-looking scar, at least.
Yeah.
Is it bite marks or is it kind of like a line?
Bite marks.
Okay.
Bite marks. But those should probably be covered.
Yeah, I tend to that if I can.
Roll first aid.
Damn.
You do what you can. He's not bleeding. He's breathing fine. You feel confident that he'll wake up soon.
Okay.
We're out of combat. No, we're still in combat because you are still bleeding pretty bad. Walking up to this body, Ray, you notice it. This place is a fucking mess now. Black ooze on the ground, which is slowly evaporating, is giving way to just like pockmarks, but there's still much of your own blood scattered about, Roy's and Jerry's as well. Now, there's tire tracks, there's a lot of things in this parking lot, but the one thing you don't notice is any cars on the road, any people out, or any sirens at all. You approach the body, and at this point it is probably about half the size that it was before, and you can just hear this hissing sound. Just this. Quiet. What do you do?
Is, I don't want to like get myself all messy with this thing, but I want to try and like, you know, poke around with my, you know, tip of my gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe kick around my boot or something. Like, is Doug fucking, like, is he just, I don't know, like, this is just like an ooze. Is it all just an ooze? Is there stuff in the ooze? Like, what?
You start going through it, yeah, and picking stuff up. You don't hit anything hard. If you press your gun in and press it in a little further, there's nothing in there. There's no resistance, but it is slowly turning to nothing. Vapor kind of coming off of this thing,
and it's all like,
it is pretty hot.
It's
too.
All the same, like, there's no guts. There's no, like, it's just an ooze.
A homogeneous ooze.
No statue.
You don't see any. Roy, what are you doing?
I imagine I'm seeing Ray do this, right? Like, trying mm-hmm. to kick up some yeah. shit, whatever. Roy kind of wants to do the same thing. Like, he's thinking about the bleeding. Visually. The bleeding has reduced.
It was spewing blood.
Mm-hmm.
You have a tourniquet on there pretty tightly. You need some sort of medical attention for sure.
Okay.
With that being said, if properly cared for soon, you should be okay. But it needs to be soon.
Okay. All right.
You have the feeling that you can properly care for it with the medical devices and equipment that you have brought.
Mm-hmm.
But you should see an actual doctor sooner rather than later.
Okay.
If you get the bleeding under control soon, you should buy yourself maybe about a day.
Okay.
Before it might become a serious problem. This is a lot of exposed flesh.
Okay. Is anything that that mouth digest or ate, are there remnants of anything that it ate on the ground?
There's still a decent amount of it left. It is not fully decomposed, evaporated, gone, anything like that, but it's happening mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. Just on your approach here, it looks like the mass of it has reduced by about a quarter.
Okay.
And you don't see anything yet.
Okay. If that's the case, I want to walk back and kind of eye up Caleb, and I'm like, you mind finishing up, helping me out?
Yeah. Yeah. We gotta get you out of here. We have to get out of here. I mean,
we're gonna go into the apartment.
Get those keys.
We're gonna get the keys and find out whatever else he had in that apartment. And we're taking that car and we're getting the fuck out of here. I got pictures. We'll leave the van. We gotta go.
Yeah. Do you want to stay here with Jerry? I mean, I think two guys should go in that apartment in case there's anything else. I want to have your back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll stay here.
Larger portions of the corpse are melting off. Do you provide a decent, adequate care to him?
Yeah.
Okay. He applies different, you know, things from the medical kit. Layers and layers of gauze that is sterile and clean, disinfects it, maybe even hits it with a little bit of alcohol. That doesn't feel good. Ties you off decent enough, wraps you in a bandage. The bleeding has stopped and you will regain 1 point of health. As he's doing this, you have a lot on your mind, but you can't help just staring at this stump. This case has taken a lot from you. Now it's taken a part of you, and that feels horrible. Roll sanity.
37 on a 33.
And what hurts the most is you realize you're probably not going to be able to ride Caper the same way again. You'll still manage, but that's what hurts the most.
Fuck, man.
Lose 1 point of sanity. Ray, still outside. The corpse itself has now gone down in size from about 80% of its original mass down to what it is now. You see no bones, no structure. You don't see anything else other than this ooze. His legs are also melting and slopping off in the same way that the actual body is. You do not see the statue head. You do not see Mike McAllister's head. And you do not see Roy's hand.
Or Doug.
Hmm?
Or Doug.
Or Doug. Looking over to the left, however, where this transformation originally happened, the entrance or exit to the park parking lot, you see Doug's ripped clothes.
All right, I want to go over to those clothes. Like, they're just normal civilian clothes?
Yes, it seems to be the exact outfit that he was wearing when he met with Mike McAllister.
All right. I'll take them, throw them in the van. Why not?
There's some stuff in there. You feel some weight.
Okay, yeah.
Bring them to the van?
Yeah.
Okay, bring it over to the van. We're out of combat now, officially. What do you guys do?
I dig through his stuff.
Okay, start going through his stuff. Among his shreds of clothes, you find his badge. His service weapon, which is a .38 revolver with special wooden hand grips, a key ring with many keys on it, 4 blank silver keys, 2 very similar looking brass keys. One has no inscription on it, the other one is inscripted with 13, and another older, heavily worn brass key. Also in his pocket was a well-worn purple Crayola crayon.
None of the notes that we have were written in purple, were they?
No.
Okay.
There was something about a purple crayon. Were, quote-unquote, RJ's paintings, was there any purple?
No. Okay. Not any more than any other color.
Okay.
And definitely not crayon. So my heart rate has steadied. I don't like combat in Delta Green. I don't. I also don't feel like I pulled any punches there. I do want to say, you lost your fucking hand.
Yeah.
So this goes to say, hey, you know what? This is more for you than anything, Chup. Combat is rare and it is deadly. When combat happens, shit gets fucked up. This shit could have happened at Aseo. This shit could have happened in Golden King. You guys got lucky as fuck because you were really, really smart with that. This was fucked up. But what do you guys do?
Yeah, I want to watch Jerry, Wall, Caleb, and Ray quickly. And I say, like, quickly. Try to search the apartment.
Okay.
You're okay alone?
Fuck, if another one of those things shows up, no.
No, just...
Yeah.
Do we even want to talk about it?
I'll be fine. You guys gotta hurry.
Yeah.
And as they hop out of the van, I try and close the back. I imagine it's not gonna close, but I try and, like, just crack it back. Just...
No. And what's fucked up is you reach for it with your stub first.
Oh,
your little phantom hand.
You bring your shotgun, I got the rifle.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys pass by the corpse?
Can I ask you, like, so nothing's left behind, but there was snow on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Is there...
a giant imprint from where it was? Absolutely.
Okay. It's not like it was
even in
just
spots,
imaginary land.
Even like, even in spots that you saw, you know, the quote-unquote liquid that was inside of it kind of spew out, and it kind of scattered in, like, you remember, like, oh, well, there was a big spattering over there. That impression is still there.
Okay.
You guys make your way across the street. Yep. Now, this office, this apartment, like I explained, there's a glass door to the entrance. Off to the right, you also see an intercom system, which you guys didn't notice last time you were here. Or at least Caleb didn't notice last time he was here. Ray, this is your first time up here. The door is closed. What do you do?
The window, the outside window that he was staring at us from.
Mm-hmm.
Try that. Is that locked?
Locked.
Look on the keys. Is there anything that I would think would match up to this door?
So like I said, I mean, four blank silver keys, two pretty similar brass keys. One is blank. The other one reads 13. And another older, heavily worn brass key.
Yeah, can I try the brass key first? It's not number 13?
Yeah, you put that in, and it unlocks the door.
Okay. Walk in, and then, I guess, looking for apartment number 13.
Mm-hmm. So you enter. Actually, the first thing that you notice is right to the left, these lines of mailbox. I said they were kind of like safe deposit boxes. Number 13 reads D. Caliburn, with a smiley face drawn on it.
Is there a smaller key that looks like it would be a mailbox key on this set?
No.
And the brass key doesn't look like it fits in there, the 13 brass key?
These boxes aren't locked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so open it.
Empty.
Okay. Head to his room, or no, 13.
Up to where you believe is, stepping up, making a left directly there, go down a few, like one or two windows, and you see apartment number 13. Now, here's what happens. The door itself is cracked slightly, and you can hear music from within. Life could be a dream if I can take you up to paradise up above. Slowly coming out this doo-wop music. Hello, hello, hello again. Hello, I hope to meet again. Sha-doo-dee-dang-dong, da-dang-a-la-dang-a-dang. What do you guys do?
We gotta come in hot. I want to, I'll say on three.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to the door, and I'm going to position it to kick it open, and you have the shotgun.
Yeah, on the other side. So when it's open, mm-hmm. I turn.
You just kind of swing in.
And just to do a sweep.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Kick the door down. In. Caleb, you press in, sweep the room. No immediate threats, and nothing that you notice anyone can hide behind. The only thing that catches your eye is a door in the back left. Now you begin to take inventory of the room. It is disgusting. Filthy, one that may even jog memories as you notice. Cigarette butts, piles of trash, food scraps, worse than Bobby's in every regard, and much, much less furniture. Piles of trash, nearly waist high. An overturned, opened refrigerator in the center of the room. A particularly old model record player, which is where the music is coming from, sits on the floor with a stack of vinyls next to it. The walls were white. Various colored stains, food, maybe shit. A very short table sits in the corner with some papers and a phone on it. And against the far back right corner, a sink. An empty space where you could only imagine this refrigerator that's in the center of the room should have been, and an oven all covered in trash. In the far back left corner, like I said to Caleb, a closed door that seems to be covered in writing.
Same thing?
Yeah, well, first I want to check out the writing.
You approach this door in the back left corner, the music's still playing. Sha-dong-a-dang-dong, da-dang-a-la-dang-a-la-dang-a-la. The writing on the door is scrawled. It's a white door, and there's various different colors of crayon. They read a few different things, and they all look like they're in childlike writing. D-U-G-I, Dougie, no bath. Bath cold? Dougie clean, no Dougie need bath. Dougie no smell? No Dady, need no bath Dougie. Do no enter, No Dougie, no like bath. Variations of that written from top to bottom on this door.
Can I... you know, this being like a, you know, a standard apartment, can I, like, take an educated guess if I think this is the bathroom behind this door? Is this a closet? Is this a bedroom?
Unless there is shared bathroom, this door must contain either a room that leads to the bathroom or the bathroom. This may be a studio, in which case there is no bedroom, but you're not sure. You know that you don't see any other doors in here.
And there's no toilet in the room.
And there's no toilet in the room. Exactly. No need Dougie bath. Dougie no need bath. No daddy. No bath Dougie.
We gotta go in here, man.
Okay.
We gotta clear it. Let's go. Alright.
The stench is also getting to you guys. It is horrible in here. And you're wading through trash to get to this door. Want to make that clear. Do you open the door?
Yeah, I don't want to kick it. I just want to, like, swing it open.
Swing it open, revealing a perfectly pristine, clean bathroom. Shining toilet, sink, and bathtub with a joined shower. No medicine cabinet on the sink here.
Is the shower curtain closed?
There is no shower curtain. No shampoo bottles, no toothbrush, no nothing, but it looks pristine. Do you guys step in, take a closer look at anything?
There's no cabinet at all?
Nope, not in the bathroom here.
Is there a, like, this? Oh, so is it the sink just sticks off the wall and that's
it? Yeah, exactly.
You know, fuck it, I wanna... I guess the only place for things to hide would be, like, take the toilet. Cover the toilet off. Anything in there?
Nope. You step in, but you do notice that the top of the toilet, as well as the sink and the edges of the bathtub, are covered in dust.
Hasn't been in here. Alright, fuck. Let's take pictures of this whole place.
Yeah, yeah. You get that. I'll search around as quick as I can.
Yeah, and then we'll get out of here. There wasn't any. Was one of them keys a car key, or do we have to find a car key?
Did anyone look at a car key?
Nope.
Then I'm looking for a car key.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe in like a nightstand. I guess I assume that he was sleeping on the couch because he was right next to the
window.
There
is no couch. There is no couch.
Is there anything near the window to sit on?
Nope.
So when you said the refrigerator was on its side in the middle, like, does that mean the cavity of it is open up?
Correct.
Yeah, there it is. He was chilling in the refrigerator.
Do you guys inspect this room closely?
That's a theme.
Yeah.
These people that have this thing, like keeping them in a cold place, with RJ?
The fridge is not plugged in. However, standing over it, you do notice a stained pillow and blanket, and it reeks. It's horrible.
Is this fridge enough to fit a grown man the size of Doug?
Nope. He was particularly tall.
Judging by where I was in the window, is this the same apartment from the outside inside?
Absolutely.
Okay. Looking around cabinets, looking for the car key, but I'm... Caleb wants an address. Caleb wants anything that points to the farm.
Gotcha. And what are you doing, Ray? The record player is still playing music.
I'm taking pictures of everything. I'm not trying to get to the record player, but when I do, I want to stop it, and I want to read what the record is.
Okay. You stop the record, and Caleb, you're going through it. You see it's just a generic doo-wop greatest hits, but there's a stack of vinyls to the side. The one on top is an album by The Chords, and it's written in Sharpie. It says, "I'm proud of you, Dougie. Love, Dad."
That's the top one.
Yep.
I want to flip through the stack then.
All of them seem to have writing on them. Dougie, you're doing great. Love, Dad.
Is it all D-U-G-I?
No, it is D-O-U-G-I. Okay. Keep taking baths. Thanks for the drawing, Dougie. I love you. Love, Dad. Great work today, Dougie. Heart, Dad. All different doo-wop albums, the Chords, the Mystics, Cadillacs, Spaniels, all written in the same handwriting.
Is it the same handwriting that's on the door?
Absolutely not.
Got it.
This is neat, all caps, kind of like, I don't... Do you guys know dad handwriting? Because dad handwriting is very specific.
Yeah.
It's like all caps and like kind of scrunched together. Yeah.
I'm taking pictures of all this.
Yes. You're beginning to make your way through. Cabinets are emptied or broken. Trash littering everywhere. There is an alarming amount of refuse in here.
Are they neglected or are they broken out of like somebody physically like anger or
human intelligence?
Twenty-six on a 61.
Both.
Okay.
There is a point where you notice, like, the screws kind of ripped downward, so you imagine that might have been out of anger, but some of them are just in various states of disrepair. Termites, maybe. And you're going through... I mean, there's so much trash, shit smeared on burger wrappers, ripped apart comic books, all sort of random trash. A lot of cigarette butts in here, too. And there's something that you find that kind of makes you stop. A rotting, partially decomposed arm. From the arm up to the elbow, like the wrist up to the elbow. Child-sized. Difficult to pinpoint an age, or race, or gender. The muscle is deteriorating, the skin is dried. You just see it kind of sitting there among all this other trash.
Seeing other dead bodies like we have, would I be able to pinpoint any type of timeline?
Roll forensics.
12 on a 57.
10 or more weeks. Maybe okay. 12.
Can I dig through the trash around this area?
Yeah, you begin doing that. Ray, after you're done with the records, what do? Do you take anything?
No, I mean, I guess I want to help Caleb find the key.
Okay.
Kind of pressed on getting out of here. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've really found anything that, like, piques my interest like that either. Maybe if I find looking, or if I start looking, I'll find
the only other piece of furniture in this room is the table in the corner that I mentioned there was a phone on top of.
Oh, and you said there were some papers?
Papers on it, yeah.
All right, I'll look through that then.
Mm-hmm. You start going through that. Caleb, you find a few small, more bones, human toes, partially decomposed, and child-sized. There's three that you find nearby. A big toe and two others that you're not able to exactly pinpoint. Ray, you make your way over to the table, and there are papers on the desk, like I mentioned. But what you notice first is a device next to the phone. It reads, PhoneMate 400 Automatic Telephone Answering Machine. Blinking red light.
I hit the button and I hear a beep and I look at Caleb.
Hi, this message is for Douglas Caliburn. This is Sarah over at the county clerk's office, filing some information on behalf of the county assessors. If you could just give me a call back at 612-588-5700. Thanks, and have a wonderful day. Eep. Hi, Douglas, Sarah again. Just following up on the message I left you last week. We're having some difficulty finding your birth certificate for these joint ownership documents that you've filed a claim at the assessor's office. If you can't find it or you don't have it on hand, we can put it in a claim. Just give me a call back, 612-588-5700. Hey, Mr. Caliburn. Roman Bird over at the county clerk's just spoke with your chief. All that paperwork's been taken care of, so you can disregard those last few messages. Hopefully Sarah didn't bother you too much. Take it easy. Beep. And the final message left is you hear like muffled kind of shuffling, and then you just hear, fuck. Beep.
Does the fuck doesn't sound like, it's not the guy that called, the Roman, you say?
No, definitely seemed not. Like a different voice. Okay.
Did you just cycle through the new ones, or? Does he have any saved on there? Is there like a save button or something?
There is not.
It's just a play.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's everything. I would say let's probe him to the county clerk, but it seems like they already were dealt with.
Everything we did. Did you play that last one again?
Yeah. I'll play them all again, but I play, you know.
I'm not going to go through them all. Unless you have questions about the contents of them, let me know.
No, it's that fuck voice.
Yeah, you just hear that fuck.
Nothing.
No.
When you said shuffling, like...
Think about, like,
I mean, does it sound
windbreaker like, material kind of rubbing against itself.
I mean, does it sound like...
Not footsteps, not sprinting, nothing like that.
Yeah, it sounds like the phone was... Like, oh shit, I butt dialed you. Fuck, kind of. I know it's not cell phones, but like, sort of in that vein.
I don't know.
It's not like you're moving. You're standing on a landline. Like, you don't have anything mobile, right, to call somebody on?
On this device, do we... I don't want to say, is there caller ID? Does it have where the number is?
No. Okay. But you do notice, as you're standing here, those papers that I mentioned are not papers. Next to this answering machine is a 64-pack of Crayola crayons and 4 different crayon drawings on construction paper. Spread out, not evenly, not like they were on display, but as if someone was drawing to their heart's content.
Same thing with RJ, right? What's on the... What are the pictures?
Oh, I'm going to tell you what the pictures are.
Did you draw any?
No. I really wanted to, dude. I thought it would be so funny to fucking throw down a stack of crayon drawings. But a 64-pack of Crayola is fucking expensive, dude. The first depicts a brown house flanked by several trees with 5 crudely drawn stick figures standing around it. 3 of these stick figures look different than the other ones. One has a long beard, one has white hair, and the other one has long brown hair. The second depicts just a child's drawing of a cop car, and what you can only imagine is a police officer. Sloppy handwriting beneath it reads, "Daddy." The police officer has a speech bubble saying, "Doogie," D-U-G-I, "is pottery." The third depicts 4 figures, a police officer labeled Daddy, a smaller stick figure reading Doogie, and another smaller stick figure labeled Roja, R-O-J-A. And the fourth, you're not even sure, it's a gray, fatter stick figure with what looks like the crown on the Statue of Liberty on the top of its head. It's smiling. It's labeled Mommy. The fourth was on the top of the pile and has scribbles of reds, yellows, and oranges. In sloppy childlike handwriting, black crayon on top of this scribble reads, "Dady say, when one fire, fight nutter fire." Dady say, when one fire, fight nutter fire. Any questions? And Roy, are you doing anything out there as well? Just sitting next to an unconscious Jerry.
Yeah. Can I kind of like run my finger under his nose, make sure he's still breathing?
Yeah, he's breathing.
Yeah, just pull out a cigar, swing the doors open, kick my feet off. So like my butt's on the back of the van and my legs are kind of dangling.
Yeah.
And I got a cigar. That's all I'm doing, man. And I'm kind of like occasionally just looking at my fucking left wrist.
How does Roy feel right now?
The shock is going away and it's turning into sadness. Not really regret or anger or anything, just an overwhelming sadness. And he's quiet.
Back inside.
I know I've never interacted with Doug, but from what I saw him talking to Mike McAllister, I don't think he's like deficient, right? Like mentally. Like he seemed like he was having an adult conversation with Mike McAllister.
Absolutely.
Not like
a conversation of have? No. I'm going to blurt it out. I'm going to cut it out. That's what he wanted to say. I know that's what he wanted to say.
I know. It's exactly what I wanted to say.
No. He seemed like a fully functional adult man.
Yep.
You snap pictures of all these, right?
Yeah.
What's the Roja one say again?
R-O-J-A. That one is four stick figures. A police officer labeled Daddy, smaller stick figure labeled Doogie, and another smaller stick figure labeled Roja. And next to it, a gray, fatter stick figure with a crown on top of its head, smiling. And it reads Mommy.
That's surprising. I mean, closest, it's the names again, but the Roja. Ronald Jordan.
I want to look at the five stick figures standing at the cabin. Can you tell me that again?
Five stick figures standing at a brown house in the woods. Two look completely like just regular stick figures. One has a long beard. One has white hair. And the other one has long brown hair.
Dan Winters is white hair, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he has white hair. Sorry, not his white hair stick figure.
Yes. He has white hair. Caleb, are you still going through trash, or are you deliberating with him?
No, I went back to it. Back to the arm that's in here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clean? Is it look like it's cut, or just the bone?
Just the bone.
Okay. No cuts, no lacerations on these bones?
Not on the bones, no.
Okay.
As you're there, you see another bone, possibly a rib bone, you would imagine. It's difficult to tell, and it stinks even worse than the others that you found. And it's stained, has something dark brown that's kind of crusted on the tip of it.
Yeah, keep looking. We don't have any evidence bags or anything with us. Is there anything here that I can use as a bag?
A shit-smeared Burger King bag.
Anything cleaner?
Roll luck.
Yeah, I'll help him look, too. Plastic shopping bag, paper bag.
Box?
Mm. Yeah, box.
He's rolling luck.
Fuck.
Oh, it's not... Okay,
mm-hmm. 88 on a 35.
Would you like to re-roll?
No.
Okay. No. Nothing is clean in here, and that much is apparent.
Got it.
The smell is starting to get to you guys pretty fucking bad, too.
Some of the smaller bones, can I put if I'm wearing a jacket, maybe like an inner jacket pocket? Mm-hmm.
As you go to pick up some of the smaller bones, you also see three other bones closer to the refrigerator. These are a few different sizes, somewhere between 2 to 3 inches. The smallest one and the largest one about 6 inches. Really hard to tell exactly what kind of bones these are. So you go to pick those up. You see stuffed into the front door on the back, the casing for the refrigerator has kind of been ripped open, exposing like the radiator almost.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a car key that's been shoved into there.
Like hidden?
No, more like pressed into place.
Like there's like an imprint for it?
No, but shoved into the mechanical innards of this refrigerator door.
Refrigerator have a freezer?
No.
Okay. Can I take the key?
Yeah.
And can I start pulling off that radiator? See if there's anything else behind it?
Yeah, you go digging in there. Anything you're doing, Ray?
I mean, we still haven't found a car key, right? In here?
That was a car key.
Oh, you got it. Fuck, I'm sorry. I don't. If you're still looking in here, I just want to keep rummaging around, see what else I can find. I know it's a lot of shit, but
okay.
I just want to cover it 100% because I don't want to come back here.
Are you guys doing a top to bottom here?
How much? Now that we've gone through it, how long do you think it would take us?
About half an hour. You guys have spent about half an hour in here.
Yeah, I'd say fuck it.
I want to find that address.
Yeah.
I know he's been there.
Yeah.
You start going through. Time passes. Roy, you know that 30 minutes has gone by, and then another 10 past that. You guys start going through this trash. One thing you notice that becomes apparent, there are no receipts in this trash. And that becomes kind of strange because these piles of trash are massive. Tons of cigarette butts as well. The next thing that you notice is a few more bones. And they're small. They're really, really tiny. You probably wouldn't even notice that they were bones. Maybe mix it up for chunks of plastic or something, but pick them up and you can tell. Not teeth, but bones. And the longer you go here, the more you realize that there's probably nothing else of substance in this place other than the records, the fridge itself, which you completely disassemble, nothing inside there. Peeling back baseboards at a point too, nothing behind there. Looking inside the only exposed vent in here, which is crusted over with all sorts of detritus, nothing in there. No written notes at all, other than if you're to count the drawings. A full hour has passed. Jerry? You blink hard. Blink hard again. And you hear a voice whisper. It sounds like your wife. I'm sorry. You come to consciousness, looking up at the ceiling of the van. You look down at your side. Your clothes have been torn. Your external looks fine, but your internal hurts horribly. Searing pain. You are conscious. Bring yourself to 3 hit points, please. You look up to see Roy sitting on the edge of the van. No light except for the tip of his cigar, which casts a glowing, glowing, warm glow on his stump. What do you do?
Wince in pain. Literally. Just fuck. But I make enough noise that you would assume you would hear me.
Yeah. I turn and I'm like, Jerry. And I fucking toss the cigar into the snow and get up and like kind of rush over to Jerry. And I'm like, grab him some water. I'm like, dude. And I kind of finally inspect where he was bitten.
Yeah.
What's it look like?
It has been bandaged by Caleb.
Oh, okay.
Do you peel back the bandages?
No.
Okay. You can still see some blood kind of dried there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm like, you all right, man?
Where are they?
They're in his apartment.
How much time has passed?
About an hour. What time is it?
About 9:30.
Okay.
Is it gone?
It's long gone. It's fucking... we killed it.
I saw something.
Saw what?
I saw a statue. I saw things when I was out. Ah!
I saw the same thing.
I heard a whisper as I got bit. It was a man that said, I can't cut off my own hand, my son. And I look at your hand.
Roy, yeah, like fucking a little more air came out of Roy's nostrils right there.
Yeah, that bitch had no questions about what they were doing to me. But I saw it bite you. It bit you pretty fucking hard, man.
I'm here. Somehow. And I start to, like, unwrap it. I want to look at it.
Yeah, you start unwrapping it. Yeah. At this point, you guys have completed your deep dive in there. What are you taking out of this place?
I want to take the four pictures.
Okay.
Car key, and I want to kind of put it in my jacket, but that longer arm bone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Pictures of everything in here. Just a heads up. And you also have the feeling that you're reaching the end of your canister.
Yeah.
Not there yet, but...
I look at Caleb and say, fuck it, and I grab the answering machine, too.
Gotcha. You can take the tape if you want the tape. The tape is removable.
Yes, I want the tape.
Gotcha. Okay, you pop it out, take the tape out. Okay. Anything else you guys are taking?
We didn't run into any other tapes when we were in here.
Nope.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Making your way out, are you closing the door?
Yeah.
Closing the door, making your way out of the apartment building?
Yeah.
Out of the apartment building.
Right to, not the van, to the
okay.
car he came in.
And doing what?
Seeing if that key works.
Yeah, try the key.
The key fits.
Okay, first things first, I want to pop the trunk, open up the glove box, console. I want to dig through this car.
Seems pretty empty. Not a lot there, no registration. In the back, you see a spare tire and a tire iron. There's also a duffel bag in the back, though, that you do notice. If you open it up, it is empty. No visible stains or anything like that on the back seats or the front seats.
All right. Fuck it. Let's go pick them up.
Yeah. I put the bones in the duffel bag.
Bones in the duffel bag. Closing the trunk, getting in the front seat. Driving over to the van. Roy, as you finish your conversation with Jerry, you see the headlights from the car, and it's very easy to recognize it as A, the car, and B, the driver as Caleb. Jerry, you kind of peel back the bandages, and you can see this scar that's formed. It's white. It looks like a bite mark deep in your side, and you touch it, and it hurts really, really bad. But the skin isn't too damaged. It's not a vile, vicious, horrible, disfiguring scar. There are other cuts that are there, kind of deeper in, that you notice. Those are a little bit fresher. Those are still bleeding just a little bit. You have a feeling if you put the bandage back on and tighten it, you should be fine. For all intents and purposes, this looks infinitely better than it feels. This feels like you are missing a section of yourself, and it hurts. And even if you try to sit up, you're going to need some help walking. You also see light from the headlights.
Well, I just, like, lay back down, like, pack it back up, and just fucking lay there, basically.
You guys pull the car up. What do you do?
Is this a van that... plates. Fucking the type of van. Is this a van that Minneapolis, or even fucking Linwood Falls, could look at and say, this is our van? Including license plates.
Oh, I'm taking the plates off the van.
If that's the case, I'm taking the plates off the van.
Yeah.
Or I'm burning the entire van right now.
Everybody at this table, roll law, bureaucracy, or heavy machinery.
Yeah!
What was it?
We were waiting for that roll all campaign.
Law, bureaucracy, or heavy machinery.
And I failed the roll.
Oh, shit.
I rolled law 23 on 55.
I rolled bureaucracy 19 on a 51.
I rolled law 26 on a 34.
Everybody passed except for heavy machinery.
97 on a 64.
Oh, brutal. Well, maybe it fits a little bit because heavy machinery such as cranes or bulldozers do not have VIN numbers. You're going to have to scratch the VIN off if you want it to be completely untraceable. It's on the inside of the driver's side door. You're going to have to scratch that off with some sort of file or something to make it unreadable.
Is there gasoline in the van? Like, Is there like pitchers of gasoline? Because if they, I say this out loud, if they see that someone scratched off a fucking white officer's van.
It's, you would know, this is a regular civilian van. We've established this. This is through and through civilian plates, civilian make, civilian model, civilian van, plumber's van. It's like a gray color.
I mean, it's not going to look any different if this thing's burned up. It still looks suspicious, but I mean, fire won't. Fire here. It's going to attract at least a couple eyes.
Yeah, to be fair.
There are cans of gasoline in the back, by the way.
We have shot several fucking bullets off. There's been screams, there's been loud thuds and noises, bangs. We've fully revved this fucking car reverse into this monster.
Mike Finn is giving me a questionable look, and I shook my head in agreement.
I grabbed all the canisters of gasoline. I'm like, grab whatever the fuck you want to put and throw it in the trunk. We're gonna burn it.
You can only grab one canister of gasoline.
I will grab one at a time.
We can burn it, Sarge, but, I mean, I'm kind of having the belief that they already knew we were tailing them in this van for a long time.
Yeah, all right. So let's get rid of it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Start taking everything out. Want the radio,
mm-hmm.
Weaponry,
mm-hmm.
Everything we brought from the station.
Gotcha. Yeah. Putting it in the trunk, putting it in the back seat. Jerry, you're still laying there.
In the van?
Mm-hmm.
Don't burn me alive, guys. I need help. It hurts.
Can I help Jerry?
Yeah.
To the back seat?
Yep. Kind of bring him over, and he's like groaning and huffing and puffing as you get him in the back seat. What are you guys doing to this van?
First thing I do is I go scratch that VIN number off.
Okay. Easy enough to find some sort of tool in order to scratch the VIN off.
Yeah.
And then?
I'm going to start loading all the guns into the trunk of the car.
Okay.
Is there just like, can I find like a tube or something?
Yeah.
I want to start a siphon off with some gas and then just let it drain out like all beneath the
car.
Gotcha.
Yeah, know? Easy enough to do that. There's like some sort of silicone tube that you're able to find and do that. Gas is now under the van. The VIN is scratched off. Everything that you guys would reasonably want out of this van is now into the car. What are you guys doing next?
Pulling our car a little bit away from it. Make sure it's out of the radius.
Yep.
Yeah. Screw those license plates off.
Take the license plates off.
Yeah. Take them off and, we should put them on this car.
I don't know what the hell plates he put on there.
Exactly.
I mean, unless they say like for like a van, they're not like specific van license plates. Yeah.
Right. Not like heavy duty.
I'll put these ones on our car.
Yeah.
Swap the plates over.
Yeah.
Okay. Plates are swapped.
I light a match.
Has gasoline been spread anywhere else other than under the car?
Oh yeah, I thought it was under the van,
mm-hmm.
with a trail to the car.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll load just like all over the floor of the van.
Right.
That's all I'm aiming for.
Gotcha.
Seats done.
The van is properly doused in gasoline. The car is a safe distance away.
Yeah. Light a fucking match from the car and just toss it.
The match travels end over end, makes contact with gasoline, and with a resounding whoosh, the van lights ablaze. A beacon of light in an otherwise dark night. The four of you find yourselves finished with what you set out to do in Minneapolis. A man, dead, teeth shattered. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production.